Please be seated. It is customary every month for us to pause from our ongoing studies in order to reflect back upon our entry into the royal family of God and how that was accomplished. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He came into human history for the express purpose in the Old Testament of being the recipient of all of the sins committed in human history. Obviously, this includes everyone who has ever lived and will live in the future. He was our substitutionary sacrifice, and he was qualified to perform this task because as a Homo sapien, he was perfect. He had no sin nature. Therefore, only through his free will could he have committed a sin. And we know that he did not do so because as he hung on the cross, he was judged for our sins by God the Father. Therefore, because of this event, those who believe in him and his work on the cross have eternal life. There's nothing we can do to add to what our Lord provided. And that is because we are simply unqualified to resolve our sin problem. We were born with it. Someone else, therefore, had to do this for us. So Jesus became our substitute. In so doing, we have eternal life through simple faith alone in him. That's the easy part. All we have to do is have the inventory of ideas in our soul is that we are hopelessly lost without rescue unless God provides a solution. We cannot add to what our Lord provided since we are simply unqualified to resolve our sin problem. Someone else had to do that for us. See that? Someone else. So Jesus became our substitute. In doing so, we have eternal life through faith alone in him. And one of the things Jesus instructed his disciples to do, and this was on the night before he was betrayed, was to memorialize this event through ritual. All four of the gospel accounts quote his instructions to the disciples regarding the bread and the cup. In fact, this is the only ritual for the church age. And that ritual involves saluting the Lord's person and his work on the cross. The bread is emblematic. It's emblematic because it has no leaven, symbolic of the perfection of Christ, undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever. And since he is sinless, he is qualified as our substitute. And the bread reflects this because it has absence of leaven. This is emblematic of inherent sin. Then there is the cup. It is representative of our sins being poured out upon him and judged by God the Father. And once done, Jesus said to Tetelestai, it is finished. If salvation is finished, and that is the finished work on the cross, then we have no obligation to do anything else but simply place our belief in this. If we do, we have eternal life. So as we receive these elements today, we will be reminded of the grace process that provides for us our eternal future. Before observing this ritual, it is our custom to pause for a few moments of silent prayer, which also provides the opportunity to use that time for confession of our sins to God the Father. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to observe the Eucharist. It is our prayer that we receive the bread, that we will be reminded of those doctrines pertaining to the person of our Lord, and we lift our prayer in his name. Amen. It is our custom to retain this bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are now healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way. And God the Father has laid on God the Son the iniquity of us all. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is a substitute for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Now, Father, we turn our attention to the cup. We now pray that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the work of our Lord. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. It is also the custom to retain this cup until all have been served. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his sacrifice, we shall be delivered from wrath through him. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my substitutionary sacrifice. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do commemorate our Lord's sacrifice until he comes." Did a heck of a job. Got some announcements, kind of a thing to do here. This morning, in the first session, I will complete a review of James chapter 5. Won't take long. I got caught the other day with the clock on the wall, but we do have a few little things to tack on the end. When I get done with that, we'll be through with that review. Some things are going to occur after that. And so we'll see how that plays out. So we have the summary of James, and that kind of thing will go on. Expanded translation of the letter of James. That's going to take a while. We'll see, by the way, 55 imperative moods along the way. I checked it out. Anti-Semitism study, that's imperative. That is the death knell of a client nation, and we are, let's just say, ensconced in that right now, trying our best to get out because the people of this country said enough and got somebody in place that would make every effort to do something about it. It doesn't matter who the person is. What matters is what the person currently in control thinks, and those who are willing to support him to reconstruct the environment of freedom in client nation America. So anti-Semitism is ripe in client nation America. It has come out into the clear light of day. Lucifer thinks he can take down this client nation, and well, he might. It all depends on how the people think from this point forward. Then there's going to be a Eucharist study. I think Eucharist needs to be explained, because at some point you're going to be in a situation to where you may have to do your own Eucharist. You need to know what it is, how the elements are involved, and therefore how you are to execute what is required to observe that lone ritual for the church age. Okay, for today, we're going to wrap things up for James chapter 5. We want to go to page 489 in document 49 REV. Here's how that reads in the Net Bible. I think I've got a picture of this. I think it's down here somewhere. Well, I guess I don't have a picture. Well, it doesn't really matter, because you got it in your notes. Take that away. James 5:20, he should know. Imperative mood number 55. Present active imperative of the verb gnosko, that the one who turns a sinner back from his wandering path will deliver. Sozo is the word there. Will deliver that person's soul, that suke, from death, ek thanatos, and will cover. Predictive future active indicative of the verb kalupto, will cover a multitude of sins. Then there's a period there. That's the summum bonum, the last thing in the letter of James. Let's get some points. Next in this passage, we shall hide a multitude of sins. The future active indicative of the verb kalupto, it means to cover. It is a nomic future used to state a fact for the forgiveness of sins. The Greek noun is what we have, plethos, and it means many, a large number, a multitude or a throng of sins, which is the genitive plural of hamartia, which indicates that all those sins have taken you away from the road of blessing and off the road to super grace. Has to do with how you think. Hamartia, in this context, the plural, referring to unconfessed sins which are accumulated in the last stages of reversionism. If you do not confess your sins consistently to the Father, and you will continue to sin, that's what your volition wants to do. And you do it. And you confess those things to the Father, you're forgiven of those violations because of the work of Christ on the cross, and therefore you're back in fellowship. Now the passage reads this: keep knowing that the one having turned back, or having restored the reversionist from the delusion of his way, shall deliver a soul from death, which is the sin unto death, and then cover a multitude of sins. That's called pulling your fat out of the fire. In other words, no greater manifestation of God's grace than when you are in the last stages of this life and you are dying before God's plan says you should die. You repent, that's confession alone to God alone. You repent. That's the idea here. You change your attitude toward doctrine, change your attitude toward the authority of your right pastor, teacher, whoever he is. And when that occurs, then you recover, followed by total healing and total forgiveness. And you are free once more to start choosing Bible doctrine every day until you get out of fellowship and you start again. If you choose Bible doctrine every day, you will move into a place of great blessing. And if you do not, you will go back into the cosmic darkness again and eventually check out under the sin unto death. Many people do that. They don't know how to get back in fellowship. They don't know about rebound, 1 John 1:9, how you reboot the system, get back in fellowship, and so on. People do not even know that one little verse to recover from deviating from the standards of the immutable Word of God. So in James 5:19-20, we learn that when a sinner leaves his wandering path, the soul may be rescued from the sin unto death. So what follows is the expanded translation of the final sentence of the letter of James. It's one sentence in two verses. Let's take a look at them. James 5:19, my brothers and sisters, fellow believers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, the absolutes of the Word of God, and someone turns you back, verse 20, he should know. That's imperative mood number 55, present active imperative mood of gnosko. He should know that the one who turns a sinner back from his wandering path will deliver, that's sozo, deliver that person's soul, that's suke, the soul, from death, ek thanatos, and will cover, that's the predictive future active indicative of the verb kalupto, and will cover the accumulation of many sins. That's kleithos hamartia. And that means the accumulation of many sins. It's covered through rebound. Now, we get down to the coda. This concludes our exegesis of the letter of James. I expect a standing ovation. Next, we will review commentaries by several theologians on the letter of James, which focuses on a character sketch of its author, who is James. We will follow that brief study with a reading of the expanded translation of the entire letter of James, including citations of 55 imperative moods contained therein. I did the count. It's 55. Point one, the doctrine of antisemitism. Two, the doctrine of the Eucharist. And three, a retrospective of my just concluded 40 years as pastor of Grace Doctrine Church in both St. Louis and St. Charles Counties, Missouri, from January 1985 through January of 2020.